Sports Fans, 1700 KBGG.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a Monday edition. Happy Thanksgiving to our Canadian listeners that may be in the audience. Big day up there today. Big day here. We've got a full plate, 2 hours of sports conversation coming your way. Trent Connor and myself with you Monday through Friday, noon until 2, each and every day of the week. A ton to get to. The NFL is going to take a back seat. Well, look, everything's for the most part going to take a back seat as we go back and rehash and recap the story of the weekend, and that's what happened in Norman, Oklahoma. But we will get to Mark Morehouse, Cedar Rapids Gazette. We'll take a look at the Hawks as they head into their bye week off a win against Illinois, 4-2 at the bye. A lot of people thought that that's where they were going to be. That's where they are as they head into their bye week. Bama Bob will be here. Dylan Montz at 1:20. As he finishes up his newspaper duties, as Matt Campbell has just met the media in Ames now, I'm assuming selected players will be next. So we'll get Dylan at 1:20. The latest on Jacob Park, if there is anything, and watching Matt Campbell's press conference, it doesn't appear that there is at this point. The depth chart is out. He is listed as an or. Whether that changes as the week goes on remains to be seen, but it does look like it's Kyle Kemp's job on Saturday as the Kansas Jayhawks come to town. And then Jordan Bernfield at 1:40, busy day sports-wise in Chicago, Cubs, and the Nationals at 3:08, Quintana against Max Scherzer, and then, of course, Monday Night Football tonight with the Bears and the Vikings, and you can hear the game right here on 1700 KBGG. Trent Condon is my partner. He's here as always. Trent, Iowa State's the story of the weekend. Great weekend in sports, it really was, but Iowa State, front and center.
Not just the story of the State of Iowa weekend, it is the story of the college football weekend, and maybe sports overall. I mean, you just don't see upsets like this. But the team that comes in without their quarterback, got beat at home, early in their development, historically inept against Oklahoma, and walk in there and beat a team that had beat Ohio State, mm-hmm. had an inside track to the college football playoff.
It wasn't a fluke.
No. This wasn't the Nebraska game with 7 turnovers.
Right. Great analysis.
It wasn't the...
With a backup quarterback.
The last time that they beat Oklahoma back in 1990, it was a sloppy day on the field. Beautiful conditions. They just went out and beat Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Heads up, mm-hmm. they beat Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. No excuses. None of that. They beat the number 3 football team.
Although
in the country.
From Oklahoma fan, you're hearing they're looking ahead to the Red River Shootout, right?
Looking ahead.
Yeah, please. I totally agree with you. No excuses. Iowa State beat you.
Yes.
Beat you. Plain and simple. In every facet of the football game. Kyle Kemp, what an unbelievable story, Trent. I mean, a walk-on at Iowa State. Goes to a junior college, doesn't play, gets to Oregon State, doesn't play. I guess him and Matt Campbell have a relationship. They're both from the same hometown. He's going to go to Toledo. Campbell ends up coming here. Kemp follows him here. I didn't even know who he was. I'll be perfect. Nobody did.
No.
I didn't even think Cyclone Jerry knew who Kyle Kemp was, honestly.
Right.
I mean, he's his favorite player now, probably.
Oh, absolutely.
And why wouldn't he be? But just an amazing, amazing story. It really and truly was. The number 3 team in the country who went to Columbus and beat Ohio State, clearly the team to beat in the Big Ten at the time, planted a flag at midfield. Iowa State comes to town, and they got whacked.
After being down 14-0.
Right. 25-7, they outscored them in the second half. Iowa State outscored Oklahoma 25-7.
They held them 7 points of this. All of this is ridiculous. It's unthinkable. The Park thing dominated, and it's funny, so we're talking Friday. If the suspension...
Zeb Nolan's got to be the guy.
You got to, because you're not winning this football game.
Right.
Well, maybe Matt Campbell knows a little bit more than we do. Yeah, maybe just a little
maybe
bit.
Maybe a tad. Here's what Bill Bender, one of our favorites, joins us every Wednesday at 12:40. Sporting News' national college football columnist. His bowl rankings came out today. Iowa State's in a bowl.
In a bowl.
It's the Frisco Bowl, and it's not a Big 12 tie-in, and it's before Christmas. But it's a bowl game nonetheless,
yes.
If indeed that's, it comes to fruition.
What'd you say, December 20th?
December 20th. It used to be the Miami Beach Bowl.
Okay. But down in Frisco, hop
right.
on 35, get down there.
Is that all it is? Is Frisco right on 35?
It's in Dallas. Well, Frisco's just outside of Dallas.
Okay.
So, yeah.
North, do you know?
Don't know.
Okay.
But easy trip. Boom.
Yeah.
right before Christmas. Yeah. We'll take a got vacation days stacked up. Might as well use them,
right? And if you've heard of it before and you're a college football fan, at least I'm pretty sure, Trent, I guess I should have checked, but that's where the FBS championship is played, correct?
Right. When they moved it from Chattanooga, that's where it is.
Right.
It's a soccer stadium.
Is that what it is? It looks like that.
MLS team plays.
Gotcha. So, North Dakota State plays there on an annual basis as well, it seems like.
Every single year, absolutely. Yeah, it's the hope is back. After the loss to Texas, that path to six seemed almost impossible.
It was impossible, Trent. Never didn't seem. It was impossible.
Kansas on deck. Have you ever seen a team go from a 30-point dog to a 20-point favorite?
That's a great point. No, that's a Jason Symbol question. That is really, really good. That's a 50-point swing.
Especially in a conference
game. The answer's got to be no, right? The answer's got to be no.
There's no way.
No way.
Between two conference games, 30-point dog, 20-point favorite.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
No, it really and truly doesn't. Wow. Wow. Joe Lanning, I mean, look at the stories, Joe Lanning. I guess that's the story. A remarkable performance. What he did on D, coming to dispel Kempton, doing what he did. You know, he throws a couple of passes. I think he was 2 for 3, plays special teams, played defense. Maybe not his best game defensively. You know, coming off a 20-tackle game against Texas, he still struggles with the running back, kind of the delay out of the backfield going out to catch a pass. He's still struggling with that. But
Was that the second touchdown where he got? I think so. And he didn't look good on that play.
No, he really didn't. But look, Willie Harvey doesn't play. Marcel Spears steps up. He was out of his mind again this week. I didn't see Sagamoa on the field.
Huh.
And he was a guy that was, you know, every time Matt Campbell would meet the media on Monday, it was, he's taking another step. And he's playing. I mean, his snap counts were up. I don't know if he played this past week. We know Willie Harvey didn't.
Yep.
One of the offensive linemen was Robbie Garcia, I don't think, played as well. But Sagamoa's a guy that he's hard to miss, right? I mean, he really and truly is. But look, we'll be talking about this one a long time. Very quickly, it was, you know, where does this one rank, right? Because we have to rank it.
Latest is always the greatest.
This might be correct when you say the latest is always. The Oklahoma State win was at home. They didn't do anything afterwards. They didn't. They lost out after that. That was a massive, massive win because that at the time was the BCS formula, and that essentially knocked the Cowboys out of any BCS hope. It was a standalone game, right? It was Friday night. That was it. This one had some competition, although I have to think that as the game was going on. I know my Twitter feed from national guys, they gravitated to the Iowa State potential upset very early, and that became the focus of their Twitter
accounts.
And
it was on Big Fox.
It was on Big Fox,
so it wasn't an FS1.
Nope.
Well, Fox
you didn't have to
Midwest
search to find it. You're right. Where Kansas Iowa State will be this week, you're going to have to search on one of the Fox family of networks. So, but it's Oklahoma. The game is in Norman, where you never, ever, ever win. The number 3 team in the country, a team that knocked off Ohio State. This was the team that was going to get the Big 12 back into the bowl playoff again. Quarterback is a walk-on who's never played a football game. The whole Joe Lanning story. And the fact that it wasn't a fluke. You know, there was nothing fluky about this outcome.
The final play, you know, the Joe Lanning spying Baker Mayfield at all time. And there were a few of those plays where he was standing back there.
But you know what? And I agree with you. And it seems like the Texas game and the Iowa and the Oklahoma game, that they're rushing 3 guys. But it's not like they're getting killed in the air.
No.
So they're obviously playing their gaps exceptionally well. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, Joe Lanning staying in there to spy Baker Mayfield on the final play. And made him throw it on the run. Lanning sack earlier in that quarter. The fumble recovery. It's an all-timer, Trent.
It is an all-timer. So this will go down as the Joel Lanning game. You know, that's,
well, is that fair to Kyle Kemp?
I don't think it is.
I don't think it is either.
I saw, you know, Iowa State people say that, I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You just had a guy that never taken a meaningful snap in his career.
Apparently he'd thrown 2 passes. Did you know that?
I had heard that, and that was it leading into the game.
I hadn't.
I don't remember seeing him throw those passes. They were probably late in blowouts, and that was it. So, but and it made me flip the main TV down in the man cave from the Hawkeye game to the Cyclo game. You know, that's difficult for me.
Yeah, I bet it is.
But, yeah, into the second half, all of a sudden, after the Brandon Snyder pick, I'm like, all right, here we go.
And what a play by Snyder,
right,
by the way.
Right. We'll get into that later with Mark Morehouse.
Sure.
But, yeah, it got me to flip over. So the little TV went to the Hawkeyes, and the big TV was the Cyclones. Something doesn't happen very often.
So you know how I watch those games when they're up against each other? I tape them both.
Right.
And I start watching one, then at about, I don't know, 10 minutes in, because I don't want to see the score on the bottom, right?
Okay.
And if you can train yourself to stay... Because once you start getting behind a little bit, you're okay. If you can get through that first big thing, and then you catch up with the other one. Then you go back and you give yourself a note what was going on. So, I mean, just tricks of the trade, folks. We're letting you buy me. We're letting you peer behind the curtain. But, yeah, we'll get to the Iowa game coming up. So what does this do in the big scheme of things for Iowa State? I think you mentioned that the bowl thing is... It's back.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
We thought that they had to be minimum 3-1 coming out of the Texas game. Everybody assumed if they are there, they're 3-2 after Oklahoma, because that's what was going to happen. Well, now all of a sudden, here we are, and
3-2. Just like
nobody knew. Yeah, nobody took that path to get to that point. Yeah. But you know what? At the end of the day, here comes Kansas, 4-2.
Mm-hmm. And then you find two.
And then you find two.
And I think you can find two. I think there are two wins out there, certainly, for this team and what we've seen out of them.
And Jesse Ertz got hurt this past weekend, too, at K-State. Now, that's the last game of the year. And look, for his sake, I hope he's back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Snyder's not going to let anybody know how serious it is till
that
he has to.
That backup was good, though.
Was he? I didn't see much of it.
He ran it really well.
So he's a similar style to Ertz, huh?
Yeah, I'd say more athletic, bigger.
Really?
I mean,
So maybe one Ertz.
Yeah, that's very true, because Ertz hasn't been very good.
No, well, I'm not sure.
But it was also a young guy. You don't have any tape, you know, that
right.
kind of thing.
Sure.
And,
good point.
It was an entertaining game, though, and went to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
I had K-State in the points in our picks on Fridays.
Did you?
Go for two. Texas scored right away. Goes up 7.
Yeah.
K-State comes back to score. Don't go for two. And then second overtime, two holding penalties. They were like 3rd and 28, tried a 53-yarder, no good.
Mm-hmm.
Texas, kicking the field goal on 3rd down, goes for it, scores a touchdown, wins it by 6. That's not a cover when you have 4.
Yeah, no, it's not, Trent. They don't let you cash that. Texas getting better?
Yeah,
I think so, too.
Are. Ellinger
so
was really good.
Really?
Against that K-State defense, that certainly is the bright spot of them.
Yeah, I think so.
He's really good.
Mm-hmm.
He's...
Red River Shootout this week's got some juice.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Have they announced where game day is going to be?
Not that they must have. But the answer is they must have, but I haven't seen it.
I haven't either, because I saw some speculation late last night.
Really?
And people said, well, maybe it'll be Red River Shootout, but... It's just not a great slate of games.
Game day in Cincinnati?
Is
that? I'm clicking on. I'm searching Twitter. No,
oh.
That's not it. That's not it.
They're heading.
Where are they going?
To James Madison.
What?
James Madison against Villanova.
Well, they do one of those. Well, they've been to New York City, though, so that I would have thought would have been the one time they kind of deviated from.
From SEC country, can't help but wonder if Oklahoma's loss to Iowa State affected the decision.
The answer is yes.
Yes.
Because
so,
Texas is trending upwards. The answer is yes.
James Madison.
That made it easier to make that call.
Is where they will be.
We will be with Mark Morehouse on the other side of this. We'll get into the Hawks, Illinois against more Iowa State conversation coming up. I know Bama Bob's going to want to start there. He was texting me essentially after every play. It was almost like enough, Bama. I'm watching. But Dylan Moss will be here at 1:20. He, again, is at the press conferences up in Ames right now. We'll get the latest on the Jacob Park status, if there is any. Matt Campbell has essentially ruled him out, according to some of the tweets that I've just read. But the depth chart came out, and he's right on top of it again. There is an or beside Jacob Park or Kyle Kemp, but at the press conference, it did sound like Coach Campbell has ruled him out. Mark Morehouse will be here next. We will talk Iowa's win over Illinois, where they are at the bye, and what we can expect coming up, coming out of the bye. We will take a break. We'll come back. It's the Ken Miller Show, 1700 KBGG.
1700 KBGG brings you Westwood One coverage of the NFL all season long through the Super Bowl.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind. and our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
It's football season, and that means it is time to find your spot for all the big games. Trent Cotton here for Draft House 50 on Mills Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. 48 big screen TVs, all the games on college Saturdays, and the NFL on Sundays. Draft House 50 in West Des Moines. But it's not just about having all the great games on. You need more than that. You need great food. Draft House 50 has just that. Huge burgers. My favorite, the pizza burger. Ground beef, Italian sausage, mozzarella cheese, little marinara, and pepperoni. Big burgers, great sandwiches, pizza. You want to go with the lighter fare? They got salads and appetizers for you as well. And you can't forget about the beer. It's in the name, Draft House 50. Local beers on tap, microbrews, whatever you're in the mood for, make it Draft House 50 in West Des Moines. Your football headquarters, Draft House 50, 6240 Mills Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. I'll see you there.
Hey, it's me, the donkey emoji.
Eee-aw.
I just want to say, if you're texting and driving, you're acting like a jack. Put down the phone. Focus on the road and make zero fatalities your goal in Iowa.
Are you going to the Central Iowa Business Conference on October 11th? It's a day focused on helping Central Iowa businesses master their processes and accelerate their success. I'm Todd McDonald from ATW Training Solutions. My team and I will be attending because we know that in order to move forward, you sometimes need to take a step back, look at where you are and where you want to go. October 11th is one of those days for us. We're looking forward to hearing from nationally recognized authors that are excited to help Central Iowa companies. One of those authors is Gino Wickman, author of the best-selling book Traction. We've seen the success of his Traction concepts not only in our own business, but many of the companies we work with. We're also looking forward to hearing from Vicki Halsey, co-author of the book Legendary Service, because we know how important it is to take care of our customers. If you're looking to master your business, come learn from the experts. The Central Iowa Business Conference is presented by EO Iowa and MediaCom. For more information, visit CentralIowaBusinessConference.com or contact the Urbandale Chamber of Commerce.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness. Give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
Join us for an evening of celebration, reflection, and commitment at Wildwood Hills Ranch Wild About the Child Banquet. Hear inspiring stories how Wildwood Hills Ranch has impacted the lives of Iowa's youth from its beginning and learn how you can be a part of its amazing history. The event is at the Holiday Inn, Jordan Creek, on Sunday, October the 29th from 6 until 8. Event info and registration can be found on their website, wildwoodhillsranch.org.
Kate here with Food Dudes Delivery. Are you tired of the same old delivery options? Well, Food Dudes Delivery can solve that problem for you. We deliver for restaurants that don't do delivery. Order through us at fooddudesdelivery.com. Food Dudes Delivery offers commercial and residential delivery service along with the option to pre-order. Our delivery rate is always a flat fee, so whether you're ordering $15 for yourself or $300 for a party, it's going to be the same flat fee. We deliver all throughout the metro area, always keeping your food hot and fresh. Food Dudes Delivery has a vast range of food options for you to choose from. So place your order for lunch today, dinner tonight, or your office tomorrow at fooddudesdelivery.com.
Welcome back. It's the Ken Miller Show, 1700 KBGG. Trent Condon and myself, Monday through Friday, noon to 2. Obviously, in the first segment, and deservedly so, talked a lot of Iowa State and Oklahoma. There was another game this weekend, and in fact, it was in state at Kinnick Stadium. The Hawkeyes really opened up late, scored, three touchdowns in the fourth quarter to really pull away, 45-16. Over the Illini, they hit the break at 4-2. Trent Condon, let's talk to Mark Morehouse, shall we?
Yes, let's do it.
Mark, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. How are you?
You bet. You guys, I got to say, I watched the Matt Campbell show last night, and I don't know who the gentleman is who does the voiceover for the highlight portion of that program. He was tremendous.
You know, I've never seen
it. It was fantastic. It was fantastic. Just a whoever it is, take tip of the cap. Looked at the game with some bemusement, a little bit of humor, and really hit all the right notes. I thought it was fantastic. It was a really good vehicle for the program.
Well, John Walters will be very happy to hear that. That's quite an endorsement. I've never seen the show. It's I think it's locally on KWCI. Is it not Channel 23?
Yep.
So that's good, Mark. What time does it air in the eastern part of the state? Do you know? We obviously do.
Let me tell you, I'll preface this by, you said eastern part of the state?
Yes.
It's after the Ferentz show on Channel 9 on, I want to say it's 11:05 or something like that.
Well, good that it's getting clearance out there nonetheless. Well, Mark, let's, Josie Jewell, first of all, he walked up the tunnel, you're thinking, oh my God, what's going on here? He did come back in the game, obviously, and played like Josie Jewell did. Is this a really good week for the Hawks to have a bye? Because might there be more concern around Jewell if there was a game to play this Saturday?
Maybe, but just in the few minutes in the post game with Jewell, I'll tell you how I couldn't tell if he was hurt. First thing, he looks at me and asks me, what's the score of the Iowa State game? And I said, well, they won by 7. And he said, did Jewell play quarterback? And I said, yeah, he did a little bit. I'm not exactly sure how much. And he said, well, hey, you act like you know what you're talking about with this game. And I go, well, I was covering your game. And he said, well, come on. I mean, you should know everything. You act like you know it. And I said, well, I always act like I know what I'm talking about. So, yeah, I think his shoulder was okay. I think Iowa kind of sort of lucky in that they're going into the bye week with really, I think Boone Meyer's probably the worst injury they have, and that's something they've been dealing with all year. Jewell seems fine. Going off that conversation, I think he's fine. Came back and played full bore. I think he was only held to like 12 tackles in this game, so he's fine. I'm trying to think. I think everybody. I think this team's in actually relatively good health going into, I think, the tougher half of their season. You know, I think a back end 4-2 in this would be very impressive for this team.
You know, Mark, I love that story because I think at times we just think of these guys as cyborgs and they're out there. But even the players are looking up at the scoreboard at Kinnick Stadium and seeing other scores that are happening. And they saw everything that we saw. Hey, Iowa State's right there with Oklahoma. And then asking the question afterwards, I think it brings a little bit to light, A, the kind of person Josie Jewell is, asking about Jewell Lanning. But secondly, got to realize these guys aren't just in a bubble. They realize there's other things happening other than just Iowa football.
And, hey, I think, you know, they're competitors on one Saturday of fall. But I think Iowa players know a lot. I mean, there's a lot of connectivity there.
Sure.
I mean, these guys played high school football together. Yeah. They all-star teams together, maybe other sports together. So they know each other. And I thought it was interesting that, did Jewell play quarterback? It's exactly what he said. So I thought that was interesting. And there is connectivity. And I imagine, you know, for the most part, unless there's, some deep-seated thing, that most Iowa players want to see Iowa State do well, and I think vice versa after their particular game together in the fall.
Mm. Well, we know Wisconsin's almost got a layup to a 12-0. Sure, the Iowa game and the Michigan game. But when you take a look at Iowa's schedule, Mark, and the reason I brought up Wisconsin in their path, which was very similar to Iowa a couple of years ago, it's starting to become apparent that Iowa's crossover teams this year are probably going to end up 1-2-3 in the East, especially when you consider what Michigan State was able to do to Michigan this past weekend.
And that game was amazing, I thought. It was almost like a horror movie for Michigan fans, and that you have the monster on the one sideline, and it's always D'Antonio. And then the rain.
Yep.
What a beautiful Saturday night for Big Ten football. You had, when the Wisconsin-Nebraska game was competitive, and then you had Michigan State game. Wow. So, yeah, I think the back half of Iowa's schedule, I think it's obviously the one that's going to mark what this season is or isn't. And the crossovers, Ken, it's a great point. But, you know, a few years ago, Wisconsin ran the same gamut. And it's just going to be how it goes every other year or so. You're not going to – you don't pick that. And the year that Iowa – you know, in 2015 when Iowa was 12-0, Iowa didn't pick its Big Ten schedule. So, you know, you get what you get. And this year Iowa got, you know, both barrels. I mean, that's a – those crossover games are no joke.
Well, for Iowa, it is a bye week, a chance to heal up, and they get ready for the back half of the schedule. Six in front, six in back. Everybody always says the bye is coming at a good time. It really does feel truthful for this Hawkeye team, doesn't it, Mark?
Yeah, I think I thought maybe last week was sort of like a half a bye, because that really, and I think everybody knows, and I think we can say this now, that was Iowa's maybe last lock on the schedule. Yeah. Illinois, maybe in a couple years it'll be good. And I thought they do have some good young players, but they really are only true freshmen. It's going to take some time. So Iowa broke in up a whole, you know, Tristan Wirfs at right tackle. I mean, I don't think you do that the week before at Michigan State. You do it in a little more comfortable setting, and so now he's got some film under him, and it looks like he's going to be the right tackle moving on. And then you have a new punter kind of worked in there, and they really were active in trying to get Ivory Kelly Martin and Torrin Young into the game early on. So
started young,
you know, Iowa kind of hits the reset button and goes into, you know, the bye week with, you know, Tristan Wirfs probably going to look at maybe being a three and a half year starter, and you know, I think that they're trying to carve out the best offensive line they can get going forward and going into this last half of the season.
Mm-hmm. Three picks for the Hawks. The one everybody remember obviously is going to be Brandon Snyder, who miraculously was able to get back in before the bye week, Mark. And I know that, you know, talking to you on a weekly basis, essentially since the injury happened in the spring, nobody, for the most part, maybe the Brandon himself thought he was going to play, but just getting back on the field as quickly as he did, and playing the kind of game that he did, did he show any ill effects following the game? Did you guys have a chance to talk to him?
Yeah, he talked, and he seemed fine. I think it's just a matter of that football shape and hitting and the contact and the cutting. You know, that's a different kind of energy, and that's going to take some time. But I do think, you know, perhaps this is Iowa's best safety lineup moving forward, and I think that'll help the defense. I mean, once Brandon Snyder gets more comfortable, the guy he's a premier Big Ten run support safety. I mean, he hits you, and you're going the other way. So I think that'll help Iowa in the run game. It looks like Imani Hooker's just gaining more and more confidence every week, and I think probably those are your two safety guys moving forward.
Well, the Northwestern game on deck after the bye week, and I know there was some speculation about a possibility of a night game, but just announced it'll be an 11 o'clock kick, ABC, ESPN, or ESPN2 for that one. So I'm sure you're going to be singing the praises of the TV execs after that one, right?
Absolutely.
Well, it was Scott Docterman who kept telling me that he thought maybe night game for this game, opposite of whatever, I think it's Penn State and Michigan, or Penn State and somebody next week. Anyway,
he said
BTN will have Iowa and Northwestern at night, and I thought, that theory sounds pretty strong. I just hope you're wrong. And, we dodged a bullet there. I think if you're looking at Iowa's next night game, I have to think it'll probably be Ohio State. I just think Ohio State sort of brings that, and this will be the week after Ohio State. I believe it's the week after Ohio State plays Penn State, which is really kind of the championship game in the West, or in the East, I think. So I think probably Ohio State demands that night stage, and that's probably the next night game for the Hawkeyes.
And you're right, Penn State does play Ohio State in Columbus the week before. And Noah Fant's having a terrific year at a tight end. He is going to play at the next level. But T.J. Hawkinson, I think, deserves a little bit of love. He only caught two balls. I think he was maybe targeted one or two other times. But he's starting to become a weapon, don't you think, Mark?
Yeah, and the one thing that he's really shown me this year is he's a willing blocker. He doesn't, you know, he's still only a redshirt freshman, so there are some physical battles that, you know, that he goes into that, you know, against a third-year, you know, defensive end. It's going to be tough for him, but I think for the most part he's held his own blocking, and I think that's probably what's made him Iowa's sort of main tight end. I mean, he plays more snaps than Noah Fant because he can block better, and that's basically the bottom line there. So that's really impressed me with his game, and he's starting to get more and more looks in the passing game. And he's not disappointed. He's a big body, and he can move. Very impressive. I think, you know, Iowa's set a tight end for a while. We haven't seen Sean Beyer yet. I think he's probably kind of along the lines of sort of in between Font and Hockenson as far as what he can do, maybe a little faster than Font or than Hockenson. And I think he probably would be a weapon soon. But, yeah, I think Iowa tight end so far this year trending way up and fits with what Brian Ferentz wants to do with the offense.
Drew Cook, another one that made the transition over, and we'll see how that relates for him. You know, Mark, the run game took a while to get going. It did. First possession, we see Torin Young come out, Ivory Cully. Martin gets the third carry and then promptly fumbles. Is it just that they wanted to get work for the young guys, or was there maybe a little message to Akron Wadley?
I don't know what the message would be, Trent. I really don't. I mean, if you look at the game, look at the game. Now, don't look at who started.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the game. 23 carries for Akron Wadley. I don't know how many receptions. He had a touchdown catch, two touchdowns. He talks to BTN on the field after the game. He's given the podium treatment from Iowa Sports Information staff after the game. If he's being punished, I don't really see it. I just don't know what it'd be for. Maybe he said something in the post game at Michigan State, but if he said anything that was could have been construed as negative toward the team, well, they were all. He was the only one who maybe said that, but they were all disappointed, and it was a bitter, disappointing defeat at Michigan State. So I've kind of run the numbers on Ferentz Wadley doghouse theory, and it just doesn't add up this week. I mean, talking to the BTN after, I just don't get this conspiracy there. I really think that Iowa needed and kind of wanted to get Torin Young on track. I think they've been they know they have to do that, and they've been putting it off, I think, this year because, the opponents they've had the last 3 weeks, I think it had to happen against Illinois, and I think it will happen more and more as the season goes on. It has to.
Mark, last thing. Miguel Racinos is really starting to... You hate to call a kicker automatic because next week he's going to miss a couple of chippies, but he hasn't missed an extra point. I think he's 5 for 6 on field goals when he gets that opportunity. Miguel Racinos went into camp apparently with it was going to be a real fight between him and Keith Duncan. He has taken this starting kicker job and just run with it. First half of the season, Racino has been way better than anybody thought, at least I feel.
Yeah, he got to Iowa. He's a legit 6'1", 6'2", tall kid, lanky. I think he was 170 pounds, and I think his dad said with a belly full of water. So he's put on that weight, and he's a strong athlete now. He's gained 20 pounds, and last year he said he didn't like where he was as a specialist, and so he refocused. And very intelligent kid, very cerebral in his approach, and whatever clicked either physically or mentally with him, keep doing that, man. Keep doing that because it's so far so good. I think 5 of 6 field goals. He's doing everything you would want as a kickoff specialist, which does add up, mm-hmm. which does help the team, and all that stuff. I mean, I did ask him one thing, with all the fakes going on, I asked him, when do you get to run the ball? And he laughed and said, nope. But then I kind of thought maybe asking him, but I didn't because I didn't want to be disrespectful. The other guys were actually doing the job, but can you punt? Do you have that in you? And that's still something I think that I was kind of working out. Obviously, you guys saw Rastetter and Ryan Gersondi Saturday, so they're trying to figure that out. I don't think you'll look at any of the kickers jumping in there.
Yeah, too bad. Mark, great stuff. Enjoy your bye week, I guess, right? There's no media opportunities this week, is there, for the Hawks during the bye, or is there?
Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker will talk, I believe, Wednesday.
Oh, good.
It's a one-day work week for me, and I can't wait.
I bet you can. Thank you, Mark. Enjoy it.
You bet. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Mark Morehouse, Cedar Rapids Gazette, thegazette.com/sports. Time out. When we come back, we'll get Bama Bob in here, get his thoughts on college football this past week. Dylan Montz from the Ames Tribune on Iowa State at 120. Jordan Burnfield, we will head, to the pulse of sports in the country today. Trent, could you call it that? Monday Night Football, Game 3, Divisional Playoff? Natty's Cubs.
And we got baseball already underway.
Give me an update. What have you got?
1-0. Check that. 1-1. The Red Sox have tied it up as they play in the bottom of the first.
Go, Houston, go. I'm sick. Anyways, we'll take a timeout. Bama Bob is next. It's the Ken Miller Show, 1700 KBGG.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Cap is back. Flag Guy here. We're proud to sponsor the foremost expert on all things Chicago, Dave Kaplan, weekly here on the Ken Miller Show. While Cap has the behind the scenes on your favorite Chicago sports team, we have the flags, Bears, Bulls, Blackhawks, Sox, Cubs. We've got them all. Northwestern too. I guess they kind of count. Check out our Chicago flags and a whole lot more online at heartlandflags.com. And peep the retail store too. 3719 Southwest 9th, Des Moines.
Hey, it's Trent Condon here from Jimmy B and TC. If you've been talking and thinking about improving your health, I have an idea for you. Do what I did. Call New Leaf Wellness. My weight had been increasing, my endurance during workouts was waning, and I was just feeling sluggish. New Leaf Wellness put together a program to help me lose weight, improve my energy, and they can do the same for you. Call New Leaf Wellness today at 515-650-1358 to schedule a free, no obligation consultation. That's 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. And tell them TC sent you.
Winter is on its way. Is your grass cut out for it? Fall is the best time to seed your lawn, and right now the Home Depot has 20% off Scott's Turf Builder grass seed bags, 15 pounds or larger. Only Turf Builder has WaterSmart Plus coating technology, along with nutrients to jumpstart new growth and protect against diseases. Get healthy grass guaranteed. For a healthy lawn, it's time to sow the seeds of success with 20% off Scott's Turf Builder grass seed, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through October 11th.
This is Charles Osgood. Tax compliance can be a real pain for businesses. That's why I'd like to tell you about Avalara's powerful tax automation technology. Avalara simplifies sales tax and other business taxes with real-time tax rate calculations and automatic return filing. Avalara's software already integrates with your accounting, e-commerce, and point-of-sale systems, so it couldn't be easier. Find out how the good people at Avalara can help you at avalara.com. That's A-V-A-L-A-R-A.com.
By the time that we got up there, his room was filled with smoke.
The wind had blown and drifted the snow up against the side of my house, blocking the exhaust from my furnace.
I heard the smoke alarm going off in my friend's apartment.
Without the Kidde smoke alarm, my son would not be here today.
Had it not been for that carbon monoxide detector, they would come to school and not have their teacher there.
I grabbed my fire extinguisher and put out the fire.
Kidde makes technology that saves lives.
Get these essential products at Menards.
It's fall at JCPenney. Time to refresh your closet. This Thursday through Monday, get Levi's lowest prices of the season on 514 straight fit jeans for guys, $36.99. And select Arizona booties for her for $35.99. Plus, save an additional 50% off clearance prices already reduced by 60 to 80%. And get an extra $10 off with your coupon. Hurry in now. JCPenney. Coupon valid 10-5 to 10-9. Levi's and other brands excluded from coupon. Clearance selections vary by store while supplies last. Savings off regular and original prices. Intermediate markdowns may have been taken. See store or jcp.com for details. Season refers to 9/27 to 10/18.
Are you sick of the same old tired lunches, leftovers, bad drive-through options? Food Dudes Delivery has your answer. Food Dudes delivers for restaurants that don't offer delivery all across the Des Moines Metro. Order online at fooddudesdelivery.com and get out of the lunch rut today with Food Dudes Delivery. Place your order for lunch today, dinner tonight, or your office tomorrow at fooddudesdelivery.com. That's fooddudesdelivery.com.
Trust, quality, value. Just some of the words that have been used by Wolf Construction Roofing customers to describe their experience. Wolf Construction Roofing works on residential and commercial roofing, including single-family and multi-family homes, tear-offs, specialty roofing, and gutters. Wolf Construction has grown into a roofing machine that installs and re-roofs nearly 2 million square feet of roofing each year. Wolf Construction has been given the Super Service Award from Angie's List and is accredited with the Better Business Bureau. Call them today for your free estimate. Wolf Construction Roofing, 515-216-3643. That's 515-216-3643. And online, wolfconstruction.net.
You don't need more sports, but you want more sports.
Rockstar Satellite can fix that with free next-day installation on DirecTV. Call Rockstar Satellite, 515-262-STAR. Call today for next-day installation, 515-262-STAR.
Are you in the mood for real, classic, homemade Italian food? Well, I have the spot for you. It's Villaggio. Two locations. The newest location in Urbandale, 2675 100th Street. The original in Norwalk. classic dishes like cavatelli, spaghetti, lasagna, and vodka rigatoni. Top-notch pizza and awesome sandwiches. A great happy hour and Italian done right. Villaggio.
Ken Miller Show here on 1700 KBGG. Trent Conn and myself with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Jimmy B and TC coming up from 4 to 6. Monday Night Football right here on your radio setting. The Vikings visit the Bears Monday Night Football tonight. Right now, Bama Bob. In this segment, we usually start talking, well, we do every week, national college football, Bama, but as busy as your Twitter feed or your text feed back and forth to me was on Saturday, I'm assuming you'll want to start with the Iowa State upset over Oklahoma. How about that, Bama?
Yeah, that's the game of the year so far in terms of national implications. And look, I'm so happy for the program, for the team. They played so hard, and you know, sometimes you see teams like this go in as big underdogs and they play really well, and they, I don't want to call it playing over their heads, but you know what I mean. Listen, Oklahoma has more talent, let's just face it.
Yep.
But they're able to finish it, and they're able to harass, make big plays when they need to. The touchdown pass to Lazard, the weird thing with Jacob Park, I haven't seen any more on that. I don't know if you guys know a little more, rumors, facts, whatever, as to why he didn't play. But to go in there with a walk-on quarterback,
yep.
I guess?
Walk-on, yep. Never played before.
And then Joel Lanning, the game that kid played, I haven't seen anything quite like that. I was trying to remember, and I can't. You know, not only plays at middle linebacker, causing the fumble, coming up with the fumble, you know, running in the Wildcat, the sack of Mayfield there toward the end was huge. They just played an incredible game, and, you know, their guys made plays when they needed to. And, again, just really happy for that program, for the fan base. And they shook up the college football world, much like they did back in 2011, and when they beat Oklahoma State on a Thursday night. But
Friday night.
I don't think anybody saw this one coming. But really happy for them, and I mean, this is just the Big 12 now. Is, and I don't want to say they're in trouble because they still have an undefeated team in TCU that could get there and on the table. But if TCU stumbles, then that means, you know, you're going to have at least a one loss team as your conference champion. And how are they going to go head to head Ohio State, Oklahoma if those two finish with one loss? It's just, I don't know. It was great to see, and certainly the biggest upset of the season, and the way they played the game, it wasn't a fluke. I mean, they really they got down and they came back and got ahead, and just, you know, it was much like Washington State against USC. It was just a football game, and Lanning, you know, I thought this had one of the best games individually that I've seen in a long, long time.
Well, you know, look, guys, we've seen Peppers, you know, a DB go out and catch a pass.
Right.
Charles Woodson, DB go out and catch a pass. Never see a middle linebacker line up a quarterback and play as many snaps as he did. Now, it was remarkable, Bama. It really and truly was. You know, and to your point about, let's follow up, what that means in the big picture. And I know that we're only halfway home at this point.
Right.
But if Ohio State and Oklahoma have, you know, finished with one win or one loss, rather, is that going to do? And, I mean, Georgia and Alabama look as though they might potentially be on an SEC championship track, both at 12-0. And, you know, one of them's going to lose, obviously. And if that's a close game, what is that going to mean? This shook up college football playoff again halfway through the season. We haven't even had our first. ESPN hasn't even had their first Tuesday Night Bowl picture unveiling or whatever it is, and we've already got carnage or chaos, as Jimmy B likes to call it.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, we had a little more Saturday night when Michigan handed the game to Michigan State basically with those five turnovers. To me, Ken, and I know we're a long, long way from it, okay? I understand. And you know, the good part is we're only halfway through. The bad part is we're already halfway through. I mean, it's just, but it, to me, and I don't care what happens the rest of the way, you know, I know, you know, you're going to have strength of schedule, all this kind of stuff, and, you know, conference champion, true champion, all this, you know, blah, blah, blah. But if it comes down to, if I'm on the college playoff committee and I've got a one-loss Oklahoma and I've got a one-loss Ohio State, say, vying for that last spot, I have to give it to the team that won the game mm-hmm. on the field. And I know it's week two, and I know, you know, hey, look how good Ohio State's getting, and JT Barrett, and, you know, all of it. And, you know, they would have a win over, at that time, you know, Penn State and Michigan and probably Wisconsin and everything else, and Nebraska certainly this week. And, you know, I understand all that. But this isn't college basketball where you kind of discount what happens because you play 35 games and you kind of discount what happens in November and early December. Okay, I mean, if we're not going to give credit for a team playing a big game week two, going on the road and winning, and we're not going to give them credit for that at the end of the year, then why play the game?
Yeah,
and I think
agree.
It's one of those things that you know, we would be setting a dangerous precedent, but we do have a long way to go. I think there might be one team that can get through undefeated. That I think that might be Alabama. I think the Big Ten eventually will. I don't know that Penn State can win out. I don't know that you know, anybody in the Pac-12 is going to win out. Washington State had a big win at Oregon, but they've got a lot left on their schedule. Clemson I think has got a shot in the ACC. Florida State may have something to say about that. Miami, again, maybe in a championship game. But, man, that was they once again, the football world revolved around Ames, Iowa on Saturday.
It's crazy.
Or Norman, Oklahoma, however you want to look at it.
Yeah, right, and with this happening and with the questions that remain out there, you got Alabama continue to dominate regardless of what happened late there against A&M. They dominated that game. And Georgia continuing to dominate.
Mm-hmm.
12-0 Bulldogs, 12-0 tied. Loser of that one still have a realistic shot, especially if it's Georgia. Alabama probably would get in if they lose a tight one to Georgia. Could the Bulldogs do the same, be 12-1 with the loss against Bama and get into the college football playoff?
They could. Here's the thing I think is going to be working against them. Look, the SEC, say what you want, is down this year. Okay, there's no question about it. For Alabama, and I think right now we can all agree there's two really good teams. There's one we think might be a really good team in Auburn, and then there's kind of a bunch of okay teams in Florida and LSU, and pick whoever else you want.
Not Kentucky.
Exactly. Out of that group. But here's what's going to be the problem is Auburn has Alabama and Georgia left on the schedule the last, two of the last three games, and they get them in Auburn. So for Alabama and Georgia to both get there, that means Auburn's going to have two losses, okay, to get there undefeated. I don't think there's going to be much of an appetite for a conference that is perceived as being down right now to put the only two good teams you have in that conference in the playoff. No matter how good the SEC championship game is, I mean, it goes to overtime or whatever it is, you're not going to have a lot of appetite nationally. I don't know how much appetite you're going to have on the committee for that. I think the odds of that happening are low just because right now the perception and really the reality of the SEC being down, and it's true. So are you going to really want to put your only two good teams in that conference, both of them in the playoff? I don't know that there's going to be much of an appetite for that. Although, if you have a two-loss, Big 12 champion, let's say, that you're comparing it against, or, a two-loss Pac-12 champion, something like that, then maybe you'd have a shot. Notre Dame's another team that nobody's talking about right now.
5-1.
5-1, going into a bye. I think they've got they come out of that, I believe, with USC USC and NC State at home. They're going to have Stanford on the schedule. They go to Miami. I think the odds of them running that are low, but if they get there, now they're not obviously they don't have any kind of championship game. If they get there at 12-1, whatever it's going to be, 11-1. You're going to have a hard time keeping that team out with their only loss being to Georgia. Mm-hmm. And how ironic would that be? In your scenario, How about a 12-1 Notre Dame against a one-loss Georgia team that beat them?
Yeah.
No, I'm with you, Bama. Notre Dame's still got to play Wake Forest, and, you know, the Wake Forest is better this year. Hey, let me ask you.
They really are.
Yeah, they really are. Let me ask you about Chris Peterson, who ESPN is. I think they're bullying him. I really and truly do.
I agree.
When Quinn Kisnick went to put the three cupcakes on the field, Bama, ESPN doesn't do that to anybody else. Kirk Herbstreit goes out of his way on game day to call him up. I get Chris Peterson's beef. It's 10:45 in the Eastern time zone when his team kicks off. The playoff committee is supposed to watch every game. Do they? I would like to think that they do. We're not sure. Recruits, maybe? You know, program exposure at 10:45 after a full day of college football, that's asking a lot to sit in front of your TV until the bitter end of the Pac-12 at after dark. I get his beef.
I get it, too. But look, a couple things there, and I think these were some good arguments. And first of all, I agree. I thought what Herbstreit did was pretty classless, okay, saying that you know, Chris Peterson ought to thank ESPN.
Right.
Because they're paying $3 billion. Okay, well, nobody put a gun to ESPN's head to pay that kind of ridiculous money to televise the Pac-12. All right, the other thing is, you know, I thought it was totally classless you mentioned
Quinn Kisnick.
Yeah, Kisnick, yeah. And then Mark Jones and Gilmore, who I really don't like as an announcing tandem. I don't like either one of them. You know, they went after him later on in a series of tweets and all that kind of stuff, and you know, talking about how his and even on air, you know, they put some graphics up there about the ratings of the Pac-12 games late, and you know, Gilmore talked about, yeah, he's entitled to his opinion, but he's not entitled to make up his own facts and all that kind of crap. So, I mean, I thought they really went after him in an unfair way. You know, I think some of what he's saying has merit, you know, mainly for the fans, and that's really that's mainly his point was, hey, it's painful for our fans. You know, our fans would like to, you know, some afternoon games maybe. That said, you know, probably most of his recruits are on the West Coast, California.
Yeah, probably so.
Area. So, I mean, you know, that's prime time out there.
Yeah.
Didn't seem to hurt him last year. They made it to the playoff.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
well,
I don't
got a quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, so I don't know exactly other than, you know, feeling for the fans, and maybe the fans don't like all night games. I don't know. I mean, maybe it is fun to kick off at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, I don't quite get that. I understand, you know, like you said, nobody's watching, you know, probably east of Boise, you know, by the time those games go off, but you know, it is what it is. And you do have to play the game, you know, when they tell you to play it, and you know, so far they're doing okay, but I'm, you know, I like Herbstreit. I thought that was pretty tasteless on his part, and I really thought what they did in game, both the, you know, on the sidelines and the announcers in game, I thought was just really uncalled for and totally unprofessional.
No doubt, they don't do that against to any other school, Bama. I don't think. Great
Absolutely.
Stuff, Bama. I still got four things I want to ask you. We're out of time.
maybe
we'll find a segment on Wednesday if you're, you know, 10 minutes allowed just to catch up. But I mean, we're halfway
Anytime.
Through the season. It's wonderful. It goes so darn fast. Bama, thank you. We'll talk to you, if not before, we'll talk to you on Friday in this segment as well, okay?
Anytime, Ken. You know that.
All right, buddy. Take care. Bama Bob, talking college football with us as we wrap up the first hour of the week. When we come back, Trent, Dylan Montz, 120, and Jordan Burnfield. At 1:40, we'll go to Chicago and preview Game 3 of Natty's Cubs and MNF.
So, just a little massive in Chicago today, huh?
Big, big day. Wow, what a day in
Game
Chicago.
Game 3. How about being in Wrigley today?
It'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You trust Quintana?
I do.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
We'll talk a little baseball on the other side of this.
That
How about that? The 1 o'clock hour is coming up next. It's the Ken Miller Show, 1700 KBGG.
Hey, it's Tiki Barber.
And Brandon Tierney.
We are Tiki and Tierney, giving you the big scoop on all the games. Afternoons on the Big Talker, 1700 KBGG. Boom.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we don't just show up with a dumpster and trailer in your driveway. We arrive with a business card in hand, ready to take care of your home. Whether it's a simple roof repair, a complete re-roofing project, or a new construction project, Wolf Construction can handle the job. Call Wolf Construction at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. We're a roofing machine.
Kevin Harlan and Boomer Esiason here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us as we wrap up Week 5 of the season with an NFC North showdown from Soldier Field in Chicago. When the Chicago Bears take on the Minnesota Vikings, Boomer, both these teams have struggled to find a way to win so far.
Because they have quarterback problems. Sam Bradford is out for the Minnesota Vikings, and Mitchell Trubisky is in for the Chicago Bears as they now look for newfound energy from their young rookie who was drafted number 2 overall by the Chicago Bears. Also for the Minnesota Vikings, they are missing Dalvin Cook. This is a huge NFC North matchup, especially for the Vikings. If they want to win the division, they need to win this game on Monday night.
Join us for the Vikings at the Bears on Monday Night Football.
Remember to listen to Westwood One's coverage of the NFL all season long. Right here on the Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
Napa Know How.
Even if the forecast doesn't call for rain, it calls for Trico Force Wiper Blades. Now $15 off when you buy a pair at Napa. Because in reality, a little water's no biggie compared to leaky garbage trucks, swarms of insects, or parking under a tree. So grab a pair of Trico Force Wiper Blades and get $15 off. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Want to transform a room for less than $20? The Home Depot has the secret formula. We call it paint. From our top brands like Behr and Glidden, starting at just $17.97 a gallon. There's no easier way to take your walls from okay to oh wow. And at these prices, there's no reason to leave any wall behind. Get your project rolling with top paint brands, starting at only $17.97 a gallon at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only.
Staples knows that when your printer jams more than it prints, it's time. When your paper supply is in desperate need of resupply, it's time. When the only printer in your office that's not out of ink is 3 flights up, it's definitely time. And it's times like these when pros turn to Staples. Staples has great prices on everything you need to print. And now, buy one HP ink, get the second 30% off. Staples. It's pro time. Ends 10/14/17. See store or staples.com for details. Restrictions may apply.
Black and Cardinal Divide is the first website dedicated to the Cy-Hawk rivalry. We cover both the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones.
This is Cody, and I cover Iowa State.
And I'm Derek, his younger brother, who covers the Hawkeyes.
We'd like to encourage you to jump over to bcdivide.com. Tune in Wednesdays and Thursday nights as we will talk all things Cyclones and Hawkeyes.
Jump over to bcdivide.com. Join us for daily banter and our social media pages at bcdivide. As brothers and fans of different teams, we grew up with a huge...